Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for this day that you've made. Thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Holy God, you're here among us by your Spirit. You say we are two or more gathered together in your name. You are in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you are in the midst of us. Holy God, speak now. Speak, for your children are listening. Speak a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of love. Speak, Lord God, for we're listening. You know each and every one of us by name. You know our circumstances, our pain and our sorrow, our joys and our concerns. God, touch each and every individual. And touch us collectively, Lord God, as we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And Lord God, take me, the preacher, and put me behind the cross of Jesus. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so today my sermon comes from the topic of be imitators of Christ. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. I believe that's what it is, right? Be imitators of God. Because it's Christ or God, same in one. And I'm going to get to that point. But I did write on my paper Christ, because my mind is there. And when we hear the gospel story, we already have heard from last week, the gospel story, Jesus continues to defend him being the bread of life, right? We heard that clearly last week. He'll say again in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty, right? He continues to defend that position, which is the truth. But the Jews, as it says in the text, they began to argue with him, certain Jews. They began to complain. And they even tried to say, who are you? Aren't you just that guy, Joseph's son, Joseph and Mary, and whose father and mother, do we know them? They began to try to tear him down, right? To put him in his place, so to speak, and continue to say that. And Jesus would say, I come down from heaven. I have come down from heaven. And Jesus said, Jesus answered, do not complain among yourselves. Because he knew that they were complaining about him. So this short scripture today is really a follow-up from last week, right? Him again stating the fact that he is the bread of heaven, and that the manna that came down from heaven through Moses was temporary. And he is the everlasting bread, the bread that we can have, right? But today, I want to focus on Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Amen? Right? We got the fact. We know that Jesus is the bread of life. We went through that last week. He is the living bread, life-changing bread. And today, we want to look at be imitators of God. And how are we going to do that? Amen, friends? I'll start with a reflection. Don't recircle old life, the reflection is called. In the late 1920s, my grandparents married, the writer says, and moved into grandma's old family home. It was a clapboard house with a hall down the middle. In the 30s, they decided to tear down the old house and build another to be their home for the rest of their lives. Much to my grandmother's dismay, many of the materials of the old house were reused in their new house. They used the old facing and doors and many other pieces of the finishing lumber. Everywhere my grandmother looked, she saw that old house, old doors that wouldn't shut properly, crown molding split and riddled with nail holes, unfinished window trimming. It was a source of grief to her. All her life, she longed for a new house. The writer says, when God brings us into the kingdom, the old way of living must be dismantled and discarded. When God brings us into the kingdom, the way we used to live must be changed. We must be changed. Bono on spiritual formation. You know, Bono, the songwriter, the singer from the U2 band says, your nature is a hard thing to change. It takes time. I have heard of people who have life-changing, miraculous turnarounds. People set free from addiction after a single prayer. Relationships saved where both parties let go and let God. But it was not like that for me, says Bono. For all that, I was lost. For all that, I was lost and I am found. It is probably more accurate to say I was really lost. I'm a little less so at the moment. And then a little less, and then a little less again. That to me is a spiritual life. The slow reworking and rebooting the computer at regular intervals. Reading the small print of the service manual. It has slowly rebuilt me in a better image. It has taken years, though, and it is not over yet. The rebuilding and the reworking of our lives take years, friends. We who are Christian believers should be going through working process at all times. John Wesley had a high standard for Methodists. John Wesley lived a very disciplined life and was not afraid to hold other Methodists to a similar standard. Can you believe that? If we really would read his letters and his sermons. His journal gives the impression that he spent as much time throwing people out of Methodist societies as he did persuading them to come in. During an early visit to Bristol, he purged almost 20% of the society for sins including drunkenness, dishonest business practices, gossip, theft, arguing in public, and cheating on taxes. Later, when he found a whole group of Methodists whose behavior was substandard, he told them in plain terms that they were the most ignorant and conceited, self-willed, fickle, intractable, disorderly, disjointed society that I knew in three kingdoms. Evidently, the group listened, for Wesley reported that many were profited and not one was offended. Wesley was in the business of what? Living holy life. He had a club called the Holiness Club, who when they met each week, they would say, how is the state of your soul? How are you doing? Right? And he didn't just mean how is your state of your soul because you could scream hallelujah and so, but how was your life? How were you living out your Christian life? Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians was about something just like that. Ephesus was a place like any major city, and Ephesus was a place that had a lot of things going on outside of the will of God. We know that Ephesus is in ruins now. It is in Turkey, but it was a place that had false apostles, and it had the goddess, I think she was the love Artemis, who they would worship, right? There were a lot of temple prostitution going on, all of that. People were being strayed away from the word of God. They had regular struggles against false doctrine, and like many churches, they had a lot of pastoral issues. About the young widows who were gossiping and all of that. The church there in Ephesus was in trouble. Artemis was the Greek goddess of hunting, and interestingly, the people were worshiping that false god. So Paul is writing this letter to a church in trouble, a church that is turning away from God. And so that letter is for us to check our lives and to check the way we should be living for Christ. Amen? Be imitators. Apostle Paul wants the Ephesians to change their way of life. And this letter is here for us to learn that we should be able to change our way of life as Christian believers. Paul writes about the rule of a new life. And he writes in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Those words are startling. They're even upsetting and impossible. It is the ultimate ideal. How can we be imitators of God? How can I be an imitator of God, right? There can be no higher standard than that. The Apostle Paul boldly tells us that if we are to be like God, we must imitate him. What does it mean to imitate? The word Paul uses here is from the Greek mimic, right? It's from the Greek word that means mimic. How can we mimic God? How is it possible for us who are sinners? Paul would say depraved sinners, be possible to imitate the sovereign Lord of the universe. How can we do that? Yet, he's telling the church, and the Bible is telling us, we must be imitators of God. Once we get over the initial shock, we realize that as children, we are to imitate our parents. Paul is really something simple. We want our children to imitate us as parents. Amen? We who are Christian believers, we who behave, you know, as Christians, we want our children to imitate us. We want to be role models. So therefore, if we are Christian believers and we are good parents and we want our children to imitate us, why wouldn't God want us to imitate God? Because we are children of God. Amen? We are called and we are children of God. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are supposed to what? Always seek to imitate God. Amen? Since we are born into God's family as his legitimate children, friends, we are his legitimate children. When we repented and placed our faith in Jesus, Christ our Savior, we are therefore we should be an imitation of God. Right? And how are we going to be an imitation of God? Let it be clearly stated that imitating God has nothing to do with trying to merit eternal life. It has to do with our sanctification. That means our living our lives daily to be sanctified. Living our lives, sanctification means to live our life as holy as we can. Sanctification. First, we are justified by faith. Justified when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and now we are going through sanctification. We are to grow in godliness. The supreme example of this idea of imitating God is in the life of Jesus Christ. We are to imitate Christ because Christ, through Christ, we see God. God and Christ are one. Now we go, and Christ has left us all the things to do to imitate God through him. To imitate is to follow a pattern, a model, an example. To imitate, friends. And so now let me break it down. What Paul, I have 3 points that Paul talks about to imitate God. To imitate God through Christ. Friends, first we have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's not my point one. That's not even a point. That's a fact. First, we have to accept Him as our Lord and Savior, surrender our lives to Him before we can begin to imitate Him. Are we in agreement? Amen? We have to first accept Him. And my first point now is that we have to live a life of love. Live a life of love. Right? Paul says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice of God. So that means if we're going to imitate Christ, imitate God, we must what? We must live a life of love. The first clue in how to imitate God comes in verse 2. Live a life of sacrificial, live a life of sacrificial Christ-like love. We have to love each other. Love each other. Not because we know each other and because we are related to each other, but because Christ first loved us, we have to love each other. And the second bullet point is, if we are to be imitators of God, then our best example is to follow is that of Jesus, who was God incarnate. Amen? So we have to follow Jesus and love one another. Brothers, this is not a light word, brothers and sisters, to love one another. We live in a world now where love, people say love, but there's so much hate. Hate on social media, hate in our homes, hate it all over the nation, but we, and even in Christian churches, people have taken sides on hate, and we are perpetuating hate. But if we are imitators of God, we must live a life of love. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave Himself up for you and me. If I'm going to imitate Him, then I need to love those around me and be willing to give myself for them. That's our first call to follow God. To imitate God, to mimic God, is to live a life of love. Number two, we have to live as children of light. We must live as children of light. First bullet point, we used to live in darkness. Before we were saved, we lived in darkness, separated from the light of Christ. But that is our past, and we should no longer live like that. Second point, instead, we should shine the light of Christ into the darkness and expose those actions for what they really are. As the songwriter says, walk in the light, the beautiful light, right? Come like the, we are supposed to walk in the light, the beautiful light. And who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. So instead, we should shine the light of Christ into the darkness and expose those actions for what they really are. Where the light shines, there is no place to darkness. That means when we, who are the light of Christ, who have the light of Christ in us, wherever we are, there should be no room for darkness. Amen? No room. Now we are light, children of light, and should live accordingly. Be imitators of God. Find out what pleases Him and do that. It is truly good, righteous or true, that we can embrace it and know what pleases God. And so we want to what? Live a life of love, and we what? Live as children of the light, if we are imitators of God. And the third point and last point, we must live with wisdom. Children of God must be wise. We must live with wisdom. Be wise and make most of every opportunity. Do not foolishly follow the ways of the world in its wisdom. Next bullet point, look for ways to allow the light of Christ to shine into the dark world around us. And the third one, rather know and understand the will of God and choose to follow it instead. That's what we're called to do, friends. We are called to follow God through these times and to live in wisdom. Right? Rather know and understand the will of God and choose to follow it. Be filled with the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit to speak out through you and through me. How do we imitate God? How do we Christians believers imitate God? By living a life of love, by living as a child of light, and by living with wisdom. That's the only way we can imitate God. I'll say it again. By living a life of love, by living as a child of light, and by living with wisdom, knowing God and knowing the things of God. And if we have not done that, we can do it now. We can say, as the song says, unto thee I surrender, right? Unto thee I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. Unto thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. We have the opportunity at all times to say, I surrender, God. I have not been what I ought to be yesterday, but today is a new day, and you've given me an opportunity to live and move and have my being in you. You know, and another songwriter says, just as I am without one plea, just as I am, Lord, I come to you. I come to seek you. I want to change. I want to live. If you were to show up today, if Christ was to show up here today, if we were called up to meet him now, do we feel in our hearts that we have done our best to follow Jesus? Have we done our best to follow Jesus, to imitate him, to be like him, to seek him, so that we have the life here and we have the life eternal? Because we have imitated Christ. Friends online and friends here, it is never too late. Never too late to imitate Christ. And when we fall short, there are days that I fall short, because we're human. There are days that we all fall short, that I didn't do something I ought to do. Maybe I didn't love somebody that I ought to love. Love them in the way I should. I don't mean a family member. Somebody has done me something and thoughts come in my head, right? Something that is not of God, and I know it's not of God. I could go down on my knees and ask God for forgiveness and ask him to give me an opportunity to change. When I'm thinking something that is out of his will, I can remember his words, that his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And I could get up and say, Lord, help me to change. By your Holy Spirit, help me to do what is right. And then seek to be wise, to seek to do things in the name of Jesus Christ. We all have that opportunity to do that every day, to seek to imitate Christ. Friends, imitate Christ. It's the only way. Amen.